Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. Hi everyone, welcome to Intuitive Awakening. Thank you for joining me for this week's episode. I hope everybody is doing well and taking care of themselves. I do apologize if I sound a little raspy. I think I'm battling a cold, coming down with a cold. I'm not really sure, so I'm trying to drink tea and do this at the same time. The past couple of weeks, we've been talking about the archangels and just doing a review and sharing some messages from them directly. We spoke with Raphael and Archangel Uriel. So today we're going to talk about Archangel Gabriel, and he is one of the three archangels mentioned in biblical scripture. And this is if you take into consideration Raphael in the book of Tobit that is not canonized, which we know about, but we have Michael and Gabriel that are both mentioned in the Bible by name. So the name Gabriel means man of God in Hebrew, or God has shown might. He's often depicted with a spear in his right hand and a mirror of jasper with an X on it in the left hand. And the mirror signifies the wisdom of God as a hidden mystery. Archangel Gabriel has played a significant role in various traditions, religious traditions throughout history, primarily acting as a divine messenger. So that's usually the role that he plays when we see it in various texts, which we'll talk about today. The primary sources for understanding his role and his actions comes from the Hebrew Bible, the New Testament, the Quran, and Baha'i writings. And the fun book of Enoch, which we've spoken about so far. So I do recommend, if you haven't read that book and you have time, it's definitely a different type of book. As you are aware, this book is not canonized in the traditional, well, I will say in the King James Version of the Bible. You might find it elsewhere, but you're not going to find it in most places. So you can purchase it online and audiobook, which I do recommend because it's a fun and fascinating read. But we'll talk a little bit about his role in the Book of Enoch today. According to scripture, Archangel Gabriel is the messenger angel who appeared to the people in the Old Testament and the New Testament on many different occasions. So let's talk about that a little bit more. In some appearances, he's mentioned by name. On other occasions, Gabriel is, he's thought to be the unnamed angel who appeared and made announcements to Moses and to the shepherds at Jesus's birth. Gabriel may have been the young man that Mark described who was seated in Jesus's tomb and who also appeared to the women who intended to anoint the body of Jesus after his death. I'm going to read for you a little bit of that scripture here from the book of Mark. The young man clothed in a white robe told the woman, "Do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter. He is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he told you." Gabriel may have been the angel mentioned in the book of Luke, who appeared to Jesus himself in the Garden of Gethsemane before his passion. And he appeared, you know, apparently to strengthen him before that episode or event. It's said that he revealed the coming of the Savior to the prophet Daniel, and you'll find this instances in the book of Daniel. And he appeared to Zechariah to announce the birth of John the Baptist. You'll find that in the book of Luke as well. Gabriel announced to Mary that she'd bear a son, who would be conceived of the Holy Spirit and would be called the Savior of the world. You find this also in Luke. Gabriel, he also may have been the unnamed angel who appeared to Joseph in his sleep and instructed Joseph not to divorce Mary. He explained that Mary's child was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and that he would be named Emmanuel, which means God is with us, in the book of Matthew. And as I mentioned, again, you know, he is it is thought that it was Gabriel who appeared to the shepherds near Bethlehem to announce the birth of Jesus, again in the book of Luke. We also find Archangel Gabriel in the first book of Enoch. Now, the book of Enoch portrays Gabriel as a powerful and knowledgeable angel with diverse responsibilities. That's something that we see with all of the archangels, even though we usually kind of attribute them with having a very specific task. For example, like Michael as the protector, right? That's when we usually call on him. Or we call on Raphael for any healing stuff. I would say the scope of their abilities is quite great, and it expands far outside of what we are aware of. In the first book of Enoch, Gabriel, he guides, instructs, and even delivers warnings and judgments. The book mainly portrays Gabriel as one of the holy angels in charge of paradise, the serpents, and the cherubim. So all of this suggests that he possesses authority and responsibility within the heavenly realm. So in contrast to Michael, who again typically serves as this protector, as this warrior, archangel, Gabriel appears more focused on supervision and spiritual guidance. And as I say this to you, I'm thinking about my previous channeling episodes and experiences with Gabriel, who I used to interact with more years ago, but usually he comes to help me when it comes to writing, and we'll talk about that as well. But I think, yes, he's very good. I'm giving him a review. He's very helpful when it comes to any type of spiritual guidance. Now, let's talk a little bit more about the book of Enoch again. So there are several instances where Gabriel interacts with different figures in this book. He instructs Noah on building the ark, and he reveals the coming flood. He guides Moses through the wilderness and instructs him on writing the book of Genesis. Again, this is from the book of Enoch. He reveals prophecies to Daniel about future events, and he's mentioned amongst several angels tasked with destroying the offspring of the fallen angels and their human partners. And in this book of Enoch, the fallen angels are referenced as the Watchers. So let's move over to the Talmud. So in Talmudic literature, Archangel Gabriel doesn't have a straightforward and distinct role as he does in some other religious texts. There are various interpretations and references that are scattered throughout, but overall, he's often seen as the companion to Michael. So he frequently appears alongside Michael, who is our other archangel. And both are generally depicted as protectors and guardians of the Jewish people. Some sources suggest that they represent different aspects of divine intervention. So Michael as strength and Gabriel as communication or judgment. He's also seen as the messenger. Similar to other traditions, Gabriel occasionally transmits messages or he delivers pronouncements from God. He might be identified as the unnamed angel responsible for various events like delivering God's wrath to the Assyrian camp, punishing Sodom and Gomorrah, and announcing the birth of Samson. He's also seen as an archangel of mystery and sometimes even contradiction. So interestingly enough, there's ambiguity regarding Gabriel's actions and even appearance. Some accounts, they depict him as harsh and judgmental, while others emphasize his mercy and his guidance. His physical description also varies. Sometimes he's shown as fiery and fierce, and at other times he's gentle and benevolent. So Archangel Gabriel has his own feast day. Now, it's important to talk about, I'm gonna sidestep for a second and talk about feast days in general. So the Catholic Church assigns one date out of the year for each and every canonized saint. And this is known as the saint's feast day. The saints are remembered on their individual feast days with special prayers, mentions, and possibly a scripture reading. But how does an archangel become a saint? The term saint does apply primarily to human beings, but it does refer to any being in heaven. Sacred scripture singles out and names three great angels, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. The church applies the term saint to these particular angels because of their great significance in the history of salvation. The feast of Saint Gabriel was included in the Roman calendar in 1921 for celebration on March 24th, the day before the Feast of the Annunciation. In 1969, the feast day for St. Gabriel the Archangel was changed to September 29th for a combined celebration with the Archangels Michael and Raphael. So St. Gabriel is the patron saint of messengers, communication workers, and believe it or not, postal workers, which I guess that really does apply since he helps with a lot of writing and messages. We know of Archangel Gabriel also in Islam. He's mentioned three times as it's either Jibril, Hebril, Hebril, Hebril. He's regarded as the primary angel of revelation, dictating the Quran to the Prophet Muhammad. He's a powerful messenger and he's a great intermediary between God and humanity. Allah sends Gabriel to support the prophets in their preaching, which Muhammad is one of them. In fact, Muhammad supposedly wrote the first verses of the Quran's 96th chapter after Gabriel spoke to him. When Muhammad was asked which divine entity was providing him with the information, he mentions Gabriel. There are several mentions of Gabriel and Michael in the Quran as one of the most powerful manifestations of God. Just a little side note here, we do know of Gabriel as well in the Baha'i faith, where he is the symbol of divine communication. So again, throughout various texts, we do find that although certain types of actions may be attributed to him, he has a consistent role as, you know, giving pronouncements or revelations or spiritual guidance or spiritual messages from above. So what are his symbols? He's often seen with peace lilies, trumpets, a harp, or scrolls. Really, you see a lot of images with him and some sort of musical connection. Gabriel uses music to pass messages from the spirit world. So when we meditate with him on any question really that we have, he may actually respond to you in the form of a song, which to me is super helpful unless the song is cryptic. To put it one way, if it's straightforward, then it's even more helpful for us. So the lilies that I mentioned, these are peace lilies, and they are a sign of peace being offered to you. It's really his way of saying that everything is going to be all right. So if you meditate on Archangel Gabriel and he hands you the lilies, then just know it's a sign of peace. Let's talk about the scrolls for a second. So if you meditate, again, speaking to Archangel Gabriel, and you see in your meditation some scrolls, he's really offering you higher wisdom and some sort of knowledge for you to access and learn. I think Archangel Gabriel comes to give a lot of information that's relevant to your present, but also to your future and your purpose and your role this lifetime. I say this even though I know that many people go to Archangel Michael to understand their role and their purpose, which you can. I actually think you can go to any archangel and they will talk to you about that. I don't think there are any types of questions that you can only ask one specific archangel or the other. This brings me to Archangel Gabriel's gender. You know, many years ago, I was teaching a class and this individual in the class, he corrected me and said that, oh, you know, you're wrong. Archangel Gabriel is a woman, which I thought was an interesting point. There's a lot of controversy as to whether Gabriel is male or female. For me in particular, Archangel Gabriel comes in a male way. And when we think about it, you know, gender definitely exists, but it operates differently in higher dimensions. Gender is more of a quality of energy than defining sex as it does in the physical. Really, when it comes to the archangels, they can choose to appear with masculine or feminine energy or neither, rather just showing up as pure light and pure energy. So all of this to say is that really the archangels will appear to you as they see fit. I personally don't see Gabriel in a feminine energetic way. It always presents itself in a masculine way, which is completely fine. And it may present something differently to you. That's also correct. It's not wrong. Let's talk about what Archangel Gabriel's skills are. So yes, he channels a lot of divine messages from the universe and hands those your way if you were to sit down and talk to him. He likes to create a lot of calmness if you're in a stressful situation. So he's a good archangel to call on if you feel very anxious and nervous. If you are sitting down and your mind is doing the whole worst case scenario situations about something, he's great to call upon. And you don't have to do some sort of huge ritual to bring him to you, right? To get him to come. You just really have to invoke the archangels, call them in, and they're there pretty quickly. Archangel Gabriel, he helps writers. So if you are an author or wanting to be one or to write a story, he's a great figure to call on. He loves to help. He likes to help you hone your craft, I'll put it that way, or to make some improvements. He is the archangel of planners and strategists. Anyone who has a creative flair to write or even draw, you know, whether it's your main job or if it's a hobby, he's really good at coming in to help you improve your skill set. He watches over children and babies so that they can develop great communication skills and, you know, have the confidence and the abilities to express themselves in life. And also he instills intuitive feelings and a conscious knowing that connects to us all on an energetic level. I think that Archangel Gabriel, he gives us strength. He gives us the strength to keep going even if we feel very tired and weary. What are the colors associated with Archangel Gabriel? Well, there are really two main colors, one of them being white and the other being gold or yellow, or yellow to gold. People see Gabriel usually in one of those colors, manifest in one or the other. And again, there's no, how can I say this? There's no one answer here. Again, the angels will manifest how they want to manifest for you personally, in terms of how they look, in terms of their gender, in terms of even how they sound. And we'll talk about that. Let me write that down because I don't want to forget about that either. How they sound, right? It all depends on you. But I would say traditionally and usually Archangel Gabriel will appear white, yellowish gold, just very uplifting energy. If we remember that white energy brings a lot of clarity, clear communication and understanding, whereas we have gold energy that has higher information, it's an uplifting spiritual energy, and usually it represents ascension, but it's all very uplifting. And Gabriel's energy is very much about raising vibrations and sparking some sort of understanding of our own inner wisdom. So you might see him as this beam of white or golden light, but he has a very calming presence. And that's the one thing that I've noticed whenever I've dialogued with Gabriel. It seems very calm. Everything seems very smooth and collected, and there's not a lot of worry. When I think of talking to him, he's very thoughtful. It takes his time before speaking. I don't know how else to put it, but it feels like a very peaceful, low pressure type of conversation. So how do the archangels sound? This is a great question. It really depends on the channeler. Whenever I hear the archangels speak, I will say for the first few years, which is several years ago, it was very archaic. That's how I knew without a doubt that it was them. And I had some trouble sometimes understanding just because I won't say that I'm not well versed in archaic writing, but some of it was a little hard. That's how it sounds to me. And then when I'm speaking to others, I just translate while I'm doing that. But to others, it could be very modern. It really, again, depends on the channeler, how they appear, how they sound, their word choice. All of that is based on you. So if you go, let's say, to me and you receive a channel message from the archangels, it may sound a little bit different than what you might get from somebody else if you were to go visit them and get a channeled message from them. The perspective, while it is theirs, it is being filtered out through the individual. So always be mindful of that. Just a couple of additional details that I wanted to add here. The crystals that are associated with Archangel Gabriel, we have copper, we have pearl, we have selenite. In my mind, I'm always thinking of colors that are associated with Gabriel. So citrine as well, I think, would be a really great stone for connecting to Archangel Gabriel. The herbs and oils to connect Archangel Gabriel include jasmine, rose, and eucalyptus. And the flower, of course, is the lily. If you are giving a talk in public, which everybody hates, myself included, if you have to give a presentation, if you're teaching a class, if you're giving a workshop, or something to the effect of having to open your mouth and speak and you hate doing that, or you have a lot of anxiety around that, call Archangel Gabriel in to help you keep your conversation pretty clear, to help calm your nerves so that you're not fumbling over your words, just to help you get cool, calm, and collected, and to have more confidence in your ability to speak well and articulate your thoughts clearly. Again, let's remember that Archangel Gabriel, he is a great communicator and he is a great messenger. It is said that Gabriel, he works to send your messages or your prayers to heaven and to those that have crossed over as well. But he works, you know, with the energy of peace and patience and calmness. So if you're trying to tap into that, I would work with Archangel Gabriel. Another important thing to take into consideration is that he works with time management. So if you have issues with that, which a number of people do, if you have issues organizing your time or staying on task or being held accountable, again, call on Archangel Gabriel to help you get that addressed. If you're running short on time before a deadline and you need a little bit of help, call on Gabriel to assist and he'll assist you with that as well. So again, he assists writers, poets, planners, and strategists. He also watches over children as well. So if you have some challenges with that, call in Gabriel and he will assist. All right, so that's everything I'm going to give you in terms of the rundown on Archangel Gabriel. It's not that complicated to connect. The way to connect, I've explained this in the previous two podcast in terms of visualization, prayers, meditation. You can even speak to Gabriel before you go to bed, and perhaps he will come in a dream where you can ask him to come into a dream so that you can communicate a lot better. And, you know, which is what's interesting about the spirit realm. Let's say you haven't met your guide yet, or you can't see or hear the archangels or angels yet. If you ask them to come into your dream because something is really on your mind, stressing you out, or you're very worried, sometimes when they come into your dreams, they will be speaking through somebody that you know. So let's say that you have this challenge and you're asking them to come to provide you some clarity. Well, in your dream, let's say that it's your mother or your father or your brother or sister who's sitting down with you to have this deep intellectual conversation or deep heartfelt conversation, I'll put it that way. And they provide a revelation to you, or they share a message that is deeply profound. Well, it's the archangels or your guide speaking through these individuals who you're familiar with and comfortable with. So that's another way that they'll show up to give you some information to try to help you out. If you can't see or hear them at this, you know, during your waking time, I'll put it that way. They're very helpful in that way, but they'll show up in a number of different ways. Sometimes they'll just let you know that they're there. So again, in a dream, let's say you wanted to get to know that Archangel Gabriel is around you and supporting you. Well, let's say in your dreams, you dream of a bunch of lilies or you hear a bunch of trumpets playing. That's a telltale sign that, okay, yeah, Archangel Gabriel is around and he's listening to me and he's helping me out. So just keep your eyes and ears open for that. And once you receive those types of messages in your dreams, don't discount them. A lot of people do that, and I've probably done that a number of times as well, to be honest. You know, we want the big divine revelation in our faces while we are awake. We need to see it, right, with our eyes open. I understand because it feels more real. We can't deny it. But the dream world is just as real. So don't deny that. A lot of messages come through dream work. So if you want to connect better and you're one of those people who's really struggling to connect through meditation, because perhaps you're not a great meditator, right? Well, ask for intervention in your dreams. And it'll be interesting the way your guides, your angels and your archangels will show up to talk to you. You know, many years ago, I was struggling with a new boss. I think I've spoken about this years ago, but I was struggling with a new boss who came in and she just did not like me. I didn't know why, but she was very suspicious of me in general. And so at night I prayed, I asked my guide, what the hell's going on? Why doesn't this individual like me? What happened? All this great stuff. And in that dream, I was back. This is hilarious. Many people, well, I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I actually grew up in Athens, Greece. And in my dream, I was back there in our small little apartment. And my parents, both my parents were there. And I was sitting at this table across from this. I think this was a 12-year-old, maybe a 13-year-old boy. And he was hungry and he needed something to eat. So I got up to make him a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But it was my spirit guide, okay? And he was giving me some deep philosophical truths about people and energy. But he was really trying to give me a message about my boss. And so I made him a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And he was eating it and he was talking to me. And he said, you know, he wanted to remind me that every single person, despite their outward actions, despite their behavior, God lives in every single one of us. That energy, that spark of light is present no matter what. So see past, you know, the outward behavior and always look for the inner light. And he told me that. And I've never forgotten that. After he finished eating his sandwich, he went out to give a sermon, which was very fascinating, in an open plaza. And I was listening to him like, how old are you? Are you 12? Are you 13? What? Dispensing all this wise information. But that's how he appeared to me to answer my prayer, because I asked him to show up because it was really bothering me. So all of this to say is that regardless if it's your spirit guide, regardless if it's the angels or the archangels, they're going to show up for you because they really do want to help you. You know, this is a tough place. And so it's an amazing experience, but we have a lot of lessons that most of us tried to pack into one life because, believe it or not, we're overachievers, most of us. We know that in truth, we're really spirits. And nothing can really harm us, you know, while we're here, even though we do have physical experiences that are tough. And we have a lot of trials, you know, while we're here. But we know in truth that nothing's really going to hurt us. So why not stuff so many lessons in one lifetime? We make it overly complicated and hard for ourselves and for the journey because we want to learn so much. So they know what we signed up for. They know that it can be hard. They understand the challenges. So if you need the assistance, nothing is too small and nothing is too big for them to step forward and help you, because the one thing I can guarantee you is that they will come. And even if you're listening to this and you can't see them or hear them, if you think them and call upon them, they are there. And, you know, one thing to add is about their personalities. I think they're quite funny. They're funny. They have great personalities. And I think I mentioned this before, Archangel Michael has a very smart ass personality. I hear from him often, not because I desire that so much, but because, you know, when you really connect with a lot of the spiritual realm, there's a lot of attachments and not always the most pleasant of spirits. So he comes to help me out quite a bit and he jokes a lot during those situations. But as I said before, I can definitely guarantee, even though I can't guarantee everything in the world, I can guarantee that they are there to help you, and they are very, very supportive and they're very loving, and they want to make things a little bit easier or provide you the clarity that you need, give you the push that you need, help to instill the confidence that you need. That's their role and they're happy to help. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. As I've been doing is channeling the archangels to give a message that they want to say. I usually would try to sit down and outline and figure out something great, but I thought, hell no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to let them talk and I'm just going to share what I'm hearing and let you guys listen for yourselves. So please enjoy the channeling session and everybody have a great week ahead. All right, everybody, I'm here with Archangel Gabriel and he wants to talk to you guys about building a bridge to the higher realms. That is the topic that he chose. So I'm just as interested as you are to know what he has to say. So let's start the conversation. He's talking about connection. That's the first word that I had. Connection with the higher realms. He said, many of you have this request to connect to other entities. He's saying me too. Yes, that's true. He said entities that embody a much higher vibration. So to tap into them, they are at a higher frequency. And yes, for many of you, it does take time and some adjustment is necessary to make that level of connection. But he's also saying to know that nothing is impossible. And that if you were to request this connection, a connection will be made. So don't prevent yourself from starting or from reaching out. Many of you have expectations. It's funny. He just said this too. Okay, hold on. This is hilarious. He said, your guide, your spirit guide, don't forget them too. He said, many of you want that connection just as much as you do the archangels, and they are available and their energy is much closer to yours. So the access is a little bit easier. That he said, I just heard the word that transition, which is an interesting word choice, but he's saying it's easy to access them and they are a wealth of knowledge or well of knowledge. There we go. And they're available for you to access for wisdom and to learn about your plan. Fantastic. But let us go back to the higher energy realms. And he's saying that if you would like to connect to him or other realms of higher energy, simply put out the request. He is not negating that work is required. Yes, you must practice your hand at it. You must meditate. You must call it forward. You must put in a little bit of time and energy. And he's saying it is simply a vibrational shift. That is what he'll call it. It is a shift in, it's interesting because now he's saying transitional vibration. What he's trying to explain is that because they are of higher realms, their energy is finer or more refined. And ours is so much more dense that our energy has to be able to shift and maintain a specific vibration to connect and to connect for longer periods of time. So yes, it's funny, he goes, yes, energy work, if we wanna call it that, is required. What he's saying is practice, 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 because it takes that even for me. I have to practice at it constantly. He said, just think about how a musician becomes better over time. It's only with practice, it's the same thing. But he said, namely, it's not overly complicated. It does take a little work, but when you think of them, they are there. But being able to hear or being able to see them takes time and practice in some cases. He said, some of you are acutely attuned already. It's innate within you. When you came here, one of your gifts is more heightened. And if you... If as a child you could hear or see clearly, then this leap is not so, he used the word magnificent, it's not so great that the access would be much easier for those of you. But for others who still need to fine tune their abilities, it is going to be a little bit of a bigger leap just because they are higher up and what they mean is their vibration is much higher. But time and practice is required. But you will see the results. But he also told me it doesn't take too long. Some people think it takes years of practice. That's not so whatsoever. And he wants to make it clear, some of you your sight is more innate or your hearing is more innate. So depending on which, that is how they will manifest, whether it is through messages that you hear or through symbols and pictures that you see. But he said that building a bridge is a worthy cause to get insight that you may not have had, to get the answers and solutions that you seek from a higher perspective. He wants to make that clear that our perspective as humans is quite limited, and we cannot see everything all at once, but they inhabit a higher place, therefore their perspective is much wider. He actually corrected me, he just said global. therefore, you're at an advantage if you connect with them, because they have that type of reach. And they are always willing to help humanity grow and expand their consciousness. Great. They also said it's their goal to help you navigate this world. So it's a good reason. It's another reason, alongside many, to build a connection to the higher realms. And he said there are many of us that you call forward, and many of which you are steadily unaware of. So I'm asking him if he means there are more archangels, and he said, he just said infinitely. Okay, great. He said he really just wants to encourage people to make this leap, to make this change, because it brings a certain type of quality into their lives. Some people who feel very alone in life, who live more of an independent type of life, this will make you feel less alone, of course. They're there in times of comfort, times of support. They're there to cheer you on and encourage you. They're always available. So if you are somebody who is more of an independent human being or more of a nomad, knowing that you can really access them anytime, knowing that they're there with you to support you is helpful in life. It's more encouraging as well, knowing that you aren't traversing this world alone. And he said, he said, yes, it helps these types of peoples, but he said it's types of people, but this really helps anybody to know that they are never alone. And he's saying infinitely, infinitely so. You're never alone, no matter which, no matter which planet you travel to, no matter which embodiment you have, no matter what spiritual place you're in, there are always beings to guide and to help you with the utmost care. He also said the other reason to connect with them is for spiritual guidance, yes, but for learning spiritual concepts that might be a little far off or difficult for your brain to try to digest. He's good at clarifying difficult concepts and breaking them down and making them more accessible. So if you're doing a lot of intensive study and some of the concepts don't make any sense, he's great to come in and help to make them more understandable, is what he's saying. Don't be afraid to call him in those moments. He also wants to say this, okay, as a situation, let's say you're reading something that doesn't make sense, or it feels overly jargony. He said, call him in, take some steps back, put the book away for like 5-10 minutes, just do some breathing with him, and then go back and return to that book, and he'll be there to help clarify, like something will click as opposed to how it was before. Okay, so now Gabriel wants to talk to you about something he's calling path seeking, or seeking a new way at life. He said many of you right now are at a juncture in life where you feel called towards something else, or you've become bored with what has been, or you feel stuck in some way energetically. But namely that, he said, when this occurs, when the boredom sets in, when the energy feels like sludge, that's a really good word, and slow, He said it's really like an ache from the inside. It's a call to awaken to a new path, to seek a new way. So he says that this is also a great opportunity to connect to the higher realms to help you see or to understand why you've been feeling this way and what is it that's new. Perfect. What is it that's new that's calling you forward? And he's saying that this happens a lot at many points in life where you start to, you master something like a skill, a talent, or a job, and then you feel very bored because of the repetitiveness of it, the monotony. And it is your soul pushing you into a new direction to awaken to something else, calling you to a new purpose, a new talent to go after, something new that needs to grow, really to move into another type of experience or onto a new path. And he said, it's great to connect with the higher realms in these instances so that they can help you to understand where it's leading you, where it's guiding you, but also to push you towards taking a step, because many people feel comfortable in their lives with the consistency, with the predictability. And the higher realms offer you an opportunity to see why predictability and consistency is not always the best thing. And what he means is that he's not referring to income. He wants to make that clear because he's like, no, that's not what I don't mean. I'm not referring to income. I'm referring to a divergence in life, a need for more growth and self-exploration. And he said this happens at certain junctures in your life, especially after you have mastered something in your life or have become bored with the one thing that you've become very comfortable and familiar with doing. So he wants to say that, let's say that that's where you're at this time and you want to take a step to do something new, but you're very afraid and nervous because it's the unknown, it's unpredictable. And many of us stay where we're at because we are way too afraid to take a risk, and we would rather just be comfortable and feel safe and protected in the consistency. I think that's correct. So he said to diverge onto a new path or to diverge away from the existing path is indeed fearsome for many people. And you become anxiety ridden because you are not sure how it's going to work out or if it is. Taking risks is what matters here, though, is what he wants to add. It matters for every single person. It brings newness into your life. And he said, and of course it builds character. Yes, that's true. But they want to help you to make the necessary changes so that you can indeed continue to grow here. He said, life is not about stagnancy. And life is certainly not always about predictability. It is about evolving. He said, evolving your consciousness, evolving your awareness, but you have to risk new experiences in order to do that. So they, and he said, there is a wellspring of knowledge that comes from those types of experiences deep down inside. And inside, he said, deep inside, your true spirit feels very secure in taking risks. But it is your conscious self, the egoic self, that is most fearful. And they want to help us overcome that fearful programming so that we feel more confident and more secure in taking those necessary steps into the new directions. And he said that's another thing that the higher realm likes to step in and provide for you guys, is feeling secure and safe. Because many of us don't, and that's why we stay where we're at, and we don't want to take any steps outside of our comfort zone, because it's risky, and there are too many unknown variables. But he wants to help and reassure you that their goal is to oversee that, and to make you feel confident in your decision-making and the risk-taking. He's not saying you have to blow up your entire life in the blink of an eye and throw everything that you worked for away, but to take the necessary steps, which is what he's showing me. You know, one little step leads to another little step, leads to a bigger one and a bigger, bigger one. But they bring with you the experiences to continue, so that you can continue to grow, he said, in spirit. He also wants to say that for many of you who want to make a change, who feel very bored, stagnant, those are the words he keeps using, because many of us feel that way. And when we have those types of experiences and feelings, he said, it's like a recognition. There was a computer chip that was downloaded that says boredom. This is hilarious. That says boredom. And when that chip is activated, it triggers you to take a different step. So be mindful of that. When you start to have that comfortability, when you start to feel very monotonous and very, very bored, he said, boom, that is supposed to awaken you to the next step and to start working on something else to diverge from the predictable. But he said he also wants to tell you, for those of you who want to take the risk, who are ready to start something new, that path building takes time. He said some people, yes, are major risk takers and are willing to risk it all. And he said that's not always the best step, because things take time. Learning a new skill takes time, and building something takes time. As he said, remember, Rome wasn't built in a day. So just know that if you are in this place where you do want to expand, where you do want to grow, where you want new experiences, he said, regardless of your age, you know, don't let that be a great prohibitor. Just know that they usher in thoughts that point you in the right direction. They point you to the first step. Exactly, the first step. So yes, they lead by breadcrumbs, but there is a first step to take. And then once you've taken the first step, you will see the next breadcrumb for the second step, and so on and so forth. And as long as you follow these and read the tea leaves, which is hilarious that he just said that, then you'll be able to start building something new. Awaken a new part of yourself. Expand your consciousness in a new direction. He said that is what life is all about. It is simply, you know, growing and awakening, constantly expanding. He said, yes, there are points of retraction in life. That is normal of all things, as some things die out. But every part of life is intended to learn, grow, and expand. So keep that in mind as you move on in life. I'm asking if he has anything else he would like to say at this time, because I think we are at a close here. Yes, he said yes, okay. Yes, he wants to say that he is, okay, I'm just going to say it. He said he is very aware, okay, excuse me, acutely aware that many of you have dreams here that you really want to build. He understands this. Many of you, he said, are writers, healers, artists, poets, activists. Many of you create things just for yourself, but you're too afraid to share them with others. You're afraid of the judgment, and you're afraid of, yes, the criticism. He said even many of you have such deep self-criticism that it's prohibiting you from taking any necessary steps that they're guiding you towards. So he wants us, he said us, me too, to do some shadow work to understand why we have these thoughts, or why are we holding these beliefs about ourselves, because it's prohibiting us from being able to shine. That's his word. Shine as a collective. And to shine a light on yourself. He said, let the spark inside of you drive you forward. Allow it to peek through. Allow your creations to be... He said, this is interesting, allow them to be held with love and tender care. And show the world, show it publicly. He said, regardless of the ill wishes of others, regardless of the criticism and the judgments of the world, and he wants to bring to mind something that I always say. He said, as long as you are alive, you will be judged. You might as well do what you love, because you're going to be judged anyway. And that is true. At least I'd like to think it's true. So have no fear in your creations. They are endowed with divinity. Right? He said, every single one of you came here to present this, the spirit of yourselves, to present your gifts and your abilities. Do not dial them down just because the world may not like all of your creations. They are special indeed. So he said, he wants you to take an elevated risk, to put yourselves out there especially, and to shine a light on yourselves, even if you are afraid. He said, take the first step anyway. They will help you out. And that's why, again, it's important to connect to them, the higher realms, for knowledge and understanding, but also, he said, to push forward your creations. He said, create. That is what that's what we do. That is our very ability. We create with our inner selves. So for those of you who are too fearful to either create, he said, or to show your creations, know that they are there to help awaken that part of you, to help you overcome that obstacle, so that you can see yourself in a better light. Know that, number one, you can do what's in your heart. He said, it's a special task that you've been assigned to create what is inside of your own heart. Every last one of us has a creation implanted inside our own heart for the awakening of the world, for the beauty of the world, to share with others. And they want to work with you individually on what's going on in your mind in terms of the fear-based thinking, in terms of what's holding you back, and to help you feel confident enough to take a step forward. He's also saying something else, and I'm trying to pick this up here. He wants to talk about shame, and I don't know why he wants to talk about shame. I'm asking. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Embarrassment. Whoops, sorry. He's saying many of you fear embarrassment on a public level. You fear being called out for your work or... And he said, you know, whether it's writing, art, singing, sing or songwriting, lyrics, I heard. He said, many of you are afraid of public embarrassment. And that's why we keep ourselves small and we don't share. But the earth grows as we expand. And we expand as we share our creations with each other. Because we are sharing a piece of ourselves, a piece of our lights with the collective. So again, he said, he wants to tell you that if you have fear within yourself regarding the public embarrassment, regarding how you will feel when there will be criticism, then they want to work with you on, I'm just saying what I heard, interpersonal level, to overcome this fear in particular. To overcome the embarrassment you think that you will have based off of the judgment and the words that people use. He said they're very gifted and talented at helping you to see truth more thoroughly and to overcome some of these fears that you have. So reach for them. I just heard that. Reach for them so that you feel more confident and you have more awareness of your true self, but also what you came here to offer. All right. That is, I think, the end. I'm confirming. Is that the end? He's saying yes, yes. That kind of creeped me out. I said, is that the end? And I heard, no, we've just begun. So that's kind of cool, I guess. So, but he wants to reassure any of you right now who have that doubt, who have that fear, you know, he wants to make his message clear, you know, call on him. He wants to deprogram the programs that have been holding you back. That these are his words that I'm hearing. I kept hearing the word programs. They're negative thinking programs that have hindered you. And he wants to really help you overcome these. He told me he's very good at this. And he's good with inspiration too. So if you need that, give him a ring. All right. Well, I just want to say thank you to Gabriel for your message today and for your help. It's I'm always grateful for that. And for those of you, I hope that this has been very helpful for you. So he just said, okay, he's also saying while I'm talking, if you feel called towards him at this time, give him a ring. And he wants to say, he understands that, yes, it might take a little bit of time for you to hear, to hear his song, but rest assured you will. Oh, I love that. Okay. Everyone, I hope that this has been helpful for you. Thank you so much for listening. And I believe for next episode, we will be talking about Archangel Michael. With this, everyone take care of yourselves and have a great week ahead.